seed that's dropped on unprepared soil is not going to be productive seed. When you get ready to hear the Word of God, prepare your hearts. Now, the Word of God says that wherever two are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of them. Do you believe this? I mean, think about it. It's easy to say yes, but honestly, do you honestly believe this? Wherever two are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of them. What does that mean? That means that He is literally present in this room. You just can't see Him. But perhaps, maybe, I don't know, it's happened before to certain ones, you will see Him. Or if not Him, then maybe angels. People have seen angels. Did you know that when the Word of God is being preached, angels come in to listen? Because they learn from us about the grace of God. Angels cannot receive grace because they're perfect. Which really kind of shoots down the idea of I have to clean myself up to receive grace. Clean yourself up to receive grace and you no longer qualify. Right? Angels come in to learn about grace. They come and listen. Because they need to learn about grace. They don't know it. So grace to the angels is a big mystery. Because they cannot comprehend in a practical, experiential way what grace actually is. They don't need it. We need it. So they come. You see, grace is the whole premise for the government of God. Okay? That's what His government is established on. That is His government. It's a throne of grace. It's not who God is. It's His government. Now, angels are under the government of God also, but not the way that we are. Angels are under the government of God through sight. We are under the government of God through faith. And we receive grace by faith. Right? Angels don't have to do that. They don't have to receive grace. And they don't have to receive faith. But what does it mean to receive grace? If grace is a government. How do I receive a government? You see, unmerited favor. Not just unmerited favor, but unmerited divine favor. God's unmerited favor versus man's unmerited favor. Man is capable of unmerited favor. But it is different. God's unmerited favor is a government. People don't realize what it means to walk in a government. They think they do because they obey rules. They are accustomed to the government of man, but they are not accustomed to the government of God. So we set up like the Ten Commandments. And although we won't admit this, but in our own hearts and our attitudes and the way that we deal with things, we set up the Ten Commandments. And we say, these are my rules. And even if we're not entirely conscious of it, because of our conscience and the way that the world system has worked on our conscience, we want to kind of conform to them in some sort of a production. And if we fail, we get condemned. Well, if you're condemned, then you're actually not living under the proper government. Okay? Condemnation is not God's government. 1 John says that if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Okay? And he said, when you fail, not that you won't, you will. When you fail, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. Now this whole grace thing is a real mystery because it is in fact a governing principle. It is a government. I submit to the government of grace. I submit to that government of that which I did not deserve and could not earn. No matter how hard I tried, my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah. So how do I win? I go to God's government. It's grace. One of the things, I forgot to pray, Father, bless these words to our hearts. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. Give us a portion from your throne, in Jesus' name. One of the things all believers must learn, although very few believers, I think, do learn, and they don't learn this for one of two reasons usually. Either they are not taught, or when they are taught, they rebel against what they are taught. And that's very common. When you don't live under the government of grace, that will happen. You will be taught, but then you will rebel against what you are taught, albeit the Word of God. That's not a good thing. But one of the things that a believer must learn in order to be any kind of a fruitful believer is the principle of covering. And today, right now, we're going to start a series that we're going to do on Fridays and Sundays for a little while, not terribly long, but for a little while, on coverings. There are several different types of coverings, and it is imperative that a believer knows how to walk in a covering, how to live with a covering. If we do not live in a covering, then our lives are going to come up short of Christ's image. Isaiah 28:20, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it real quick. The Word of God says, "For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering is narrower than that he can wrap himself in it." And this is a problem. You see, that word covering there is the word sarar. And in this particular context, it's talking about an idol. Anything apart from the covering of God is a bed that is too short and a covering that is too narrow. I cannot rest apart from that which God has for me. I cannot rest apart from God's ways. Believers love God's Word, but they don't love God's ways. There is a big difference between God's Word and God's ways. Satan is not afraid of God's words. That's why he stood toe-to-toe with Jesus with Scriptures as a sword. But Jesus answered him according to God's ways. We love God's Word, but we don't love God's ways. And this is a problem. And when that happens, we have an idol and it's a covering that is too narrow. It will not protect me. It will not take care of me. It will not give me a good covering. Because in effect, it is a faulty covering. It cannot cover me. And if I am uncovered, then I am in serious danger. Because the warfare will destroy an uncovered believer, although the believer may not even know that he has been destroyed. It happens all the time. That's what religion is about. Religion is a covering that is too narrow and a bed that is too short. It is saying, do this in order to live up to the goodness of God. Do this according to the Scriptures, it even says. Do this so that you can be acceptable and pleasing to Him. Well, when the man said to Jesus, "Good Master," and Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No man is good by God," because he referred to him according to his humanity, not according to his divinity. No man is good but God. See, religion is a covering that is too short, a bed that is too short, and a covering that is too narrow. You cannot rest in it. You are constantly striving. You are constantly hoping that you are good enough. You are constantly insecure and uncertain. And this is a problem. Because it brings in confusion. In Psalm 109 and verse 29, the Word of God says that that covering is a covering of confusion. And they cover themselves in confusion as though it were a mantle, as though it's a coat. Confusion can become a covering for people. like a coat. And as a believer, I have to be extremely careful not to put on anything that is not of God as a covering. But we do it all the time. And then we get in trouble. We either get in trouble in our life with God, or we get in trouble in our life with other believers. But one way or another, we get in trouble. Because we have taken a bed on that is too short and a covering that will not cover. And we've covered ourselves in confusion and striving and anxiety. Because there is nothing that can produce peace in our hearts other than God's covering. Now, if you would turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 3. And starting in verse 8, the Word of God says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, Where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, what happened? What happened there? Adam was naked. Why was he naked? Was he always naked? We tend to think that Adam was always naked and that he simply didn't realize it. But this is not true. Adam was not always naked. Adam had a covering, and his covering was a covering of light because it was the Word of God that was calling to him in the garden. And he was covered by the Word of God, by the glory of God. He was covered by God's Shekinah glory, which is the reflected glory of God Himself. And this was his covering. And this is the same covering that believers who suffer with Christ will receive in eternity. See that momentary light affliction that produces an eternal weight of glory? That momentary light affliction and that weight of glory that it produces, that glory is a covering of light. And this is all believers that are willing to suffer with Christ will receive this covering of light. And it will clothe them. And it will be something that they wear on top of their garment. And it is a literal covering. And this was the covering that Adam was made with a covering of light. But something happened. In the garden, the serpent came and he challenged the light that he was covered with. You see, God said to Adam, "You will not eat of the tree of garden, tree of good and evil that I put in the center of the garden. And the day that you eat of that, you will be dead. You're going to die that day." You see, that was a covering. And every day, God would go into the garden and he would cover Adam and Eve. And he would cover both of them equally. He wouldn't cover Adam first and then Eve. He would cover them equally. And when he covered them, he gave them a garment of light. And they were covered. And they were clothed. Now, when the serpent said that, and he beguiled them, what they did was they left their covering. And therein was the mistake. They left the covering. You see, when they ate of the fruit, that was only the result, the manifestation of a mistake that had already been made. When a person leaves their covering and they fall into sin, because leaving your covering will always lead you to fall into sin. When a person leaves the covering of light, then they will fall into sin. And that sin will have a manifestation in their life. And they will be naked because they are now uncovered. And this was a problem. You see, they left their covering. And when they left their covering, they became afraid because they no longer operated in faith that they received through the covering of light. But they operated in the principle of sight, whereby I look at circumstances, I look at you and I look at myself, and I think, oh, I am naked, I am uncovered, I am not sufficient, it is not possible, I am naked. And they left themselves uncovered. And they became self-conscious, and they started to feel guilty and ashamed. That was because they had no covering. So what did God do for them? You see, they tried to cover themselves when they were naked. And they tried to cover themselves with a natural provision. They were the fig leaf. You know what? I would not want to walk down the street wearing a fig leaf. This would not be a good covering. Really. This would not be a good covering. But this is exactly what they did. You see, their covering was too narrow and their bed was too short. They tried to cover themselves with natural thinking and a natural provision in which they did something for themselves to hide the fact that they were in fact naked. And so they turn to religion, and religion becomes a fig leaf. They turn to humanism, and humanism becomes a fig leaf. They turn to human goodness, and human goodness becomes a fig leaf. And I say to myself, I'm okay, I'm covered, because I have this human goodness thought towards this other person, or towards God, or towards myself, and I walk in my natural reasoning, and I'm trying to cover myself, but the covering is too narrow. It will always fail me. This is what they did. And they made themselves fig leaves, and they thought they were covered. But they were not covered. And in the process, because in their own hearts they knew that they were not covered, they had to hide themselves from God. Because they were no longer covered. When I make fig leaves for myself, I'm hiding from God. This is why I make them. I don't want God to know that I am naked. You see, I want God to think that because of my efforts, because of my human good, because of my natural production, that somehow I am actually covered and fine with Him. And I think that somehow I'm fooling Him. Because in my own heart, I know its contents. And they're not very good. In my own heart, I know that if somebody is driving in the fast lane and they're driving 50 miles an hour and the speed limit is 55, I get annoyed at them. In my heart, I know that I really don't measure up. I hope maybe that I will, but I know that I don't. That's a covering that's too narrow and a bed that's too short. I can't really rest in that covering at all. This is what happens to the believer who starts to strive to be pleasing to God. And we say, oh, I don't do that. I know grace. When's the last time you got condemned? You're striving to be pleasing to God. You see, it's not a good covering. It's not a good covering. Then there's the other side of that covering. Oh, I'm pretty darn good. I got those commandments down pat. I don't fail. I know what's right and I know what's wrong. I don't fail. You know what? In that confession, you have failed. And as a matter of fact, that failure was called iniquity. Do you know what iniquity is? My wife and I were recently talking about this. Do you know what iniquity is? It's unbelief. The bottom line, iniquity is unbelief. And that is the sin that was found in Satan's heart. It was unbelief. You see, Satan was in a kind of unique place. He could see, but he did not believe. This is where we are different. We cannot see, and we do believe. Jesus said, blessed are you who have not seen and yet believed, when he talked to Thomas. See, this is why we are in fact higher than the angels in our position, although we are created lower than the angels in our humanity. This is why in fact we can be the bride of Christ. This is why, in fact, angels, which are much greater than I, are assigned to be servants. This is why every believer has an angel. At least one, maybe two. Why? Because angels believe because they see. We believe because we do not, and we do not see. We believe simply because God has said so. This is the difference. Satan saw and did not believe. We do not see and we believe. That faith that we have is the source of our covering. We receive the Word of God, we receive light from God, from the Holy Spirit, and we believe. We mix faith with what we hear, and we live in it, and we believe. This was the source of the fall. You see, they did not know the heart and the character of God. They started to evaluate it on a premise that was different than simply believing God and what He had said. And when they did that, they stopped believing Him and they removed themselves because they became afraid. See, God is not the author of fear and He is not the author of confusion. Those things are precious little gifts from the enemy to destroy people's lives. Be careful about how you deal with the Word of God. If you simply hear it in your intellect, and that's what the Word of God is to you, is simply an intellectual exercise, you haven't received anything. You haven't broken up the soil and your seed is just laying there on the top. What happens to seed that gets laid on the top? It doesn't go into the ground. That seed is plucked off by the birds. And it's exactly what happens. The seed gets sown, and it may be good seed. But if all it does is stay on the top, if all it does is stay in my intellect, and it becomes something that I intellectually consent to rather than something that transforms me because it has entered into my frame of reference, if that is where I am, then demons will simply come and pluck the seeds away. And they will remove from me that which God has given me. And the world will come and they will pluck the seeds away. And other people will come and they will pluck the seeds away. And it's part of a satanic strategy to prevent the believer from receiving the covering of light. Now in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 38, the Word of God, and this is when David came to Saul. And David said, "I can whoop Goliath." And all of Israel was too cowardly. All of their soldiers, their mighty men, were too cowardly to take on the giant. And here's this young kid. And his brothers ridicule him because they have absolutely no regard for him. They say, "Why don't you just go? You're here to make trouble. Why don't you go home and tend some sheep?" You know what? They were arrogant. Because in that "why don't you go home" mentality, they didn't have the guts to stand against the giant. So they were sending out the one person who actually had guts because they were arrogant toward him because they walked by sight. And David said, "Listen, I can take him. And no uncircumcised Philistine is going to mess with the living God, with the armies of God. I can take him. I took a bear and I took a lion and this guy's nothing." And Saul wanted to give him his armor. And in verse 38 of 1 Samuel 17, the Word of God said, "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail." And this is exactly the covering that is too narrow and the bed that is too short. And David could not use that cover. He tried to use it. It was very awkward for him. It did not work for him. And then he eventually wound up taking it off and said, "Sorry, Saul, I can't use this." Why? What's a helmet of brass? God does not give us a helmet of brass. A helmet of brass is a helmet that comes through natural efforts and natural provisions and natural thinking. Man makes brass. God did not make it. Man made. Nowhere in nature can you find brass. So, you know what the helmet God gives you? a helmet of salvation. What is the helmet of salvation? It's the helmet of deliverance through the Word of God. It's when the Word of God penetrates and becomes my frame of reference in my thinking. It becomes my thoughts. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, Paul said. And that becomes my helmet of salvation. You see, I don't need a helmet that is made with natural provisions, and I don't need a helmet that is made of natural thinking and natural way of doing things. I need a helmet that comes from the Word of God as it's being initiated by the Holy Spirit, and it becomes my covering, and it becomes the way that I think. That's my helmet. And then nothing can come against my thoughts, and nothing can come against the way that I am, because I have the Word of God produced in me and taking over my thoughts and transforming my being. It is my helmet of salvation. And then things that seemed utterly difficult and impossible and ridiculously hard and just unimaginably unsurpassable or unsurmountable, those things suddenly become nothing to me. And I get into a desert place, but I'm sitting next to a stream. How many streams do you see in deserts? What does that mean in Isaiah 43? That I have a stream in a desert in verse 17 and 18. Well, what it means is that even though I'm in a desert place, I have a covering, and the Word of God is my stream. And it comes and it nourishes me and it fills me and it waters me in the desert place. And there is nothing that can happen to me because I have the Word of God resident in my thoughts. So when I think and I look at a situation and I assess it with the mind of Christ in faith, knowing that God is able and nothing is impossible for Him. I have a stream in the desert. I don't look at the desert. I don't say, hey, it's mighty dry here. It's mighty hot here. It's mighty uncomfortable. It's mighty sandy and gritty here. No, I have a stream. You know what happens to a desert when you put a stream in it? It's no longer a desert. It's called an oasis. All of a sudden, things grow there. And it's green. You have life there. And it may be the only life that's gone around for a long ways, but there's life there. You see, I go into that desert place and I have a stream. And it becomes my covering and it produces life in me. I don't need that brass helmet. I need God's Word. I need a covering of light. In Isaiah 59, verse 17, and He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. What does it mean? Garment of vengeance. Revenge all disobedience with obedience. What does it mean to have obedience? I walk in faith. It's all obedience is. Responding to God in faith. Obedience is not listening to the rules, because the letter kills. That's not what obedience with God is all about. Obedience is a faith response because I've mixed faith with what I hear and so it profits me. That's what obedience is. I believe God and I trust Him. What will we do that we may do the works of God? Believe on Him. Simply believe Him. That means I'm doing works. I'm not doing anything. That's right. Well, shouldn't I be doing anything? Good luck. What are you going to do? Really? What are you going to do? Okay, you've got God who created the entire universe. They're speaking it into being. Didn't even have to lift a finger. He just spoke. What are you going to do? You see, all I can do to be obedient is trust Him. And then I allow Him to do it for me. You see, faithful is He who's called you The other part, who will also do it? People like, the faithful is he who's called you, and now I got to go do it. No, that's not how it works. Faithful is he who's called you, who will also do it. I don't have to do anything. I sit back, I relax, I have a relaxed mental attitude, and I respond to God in faith. And then when I'm responding to God in faith, it's no longer me doing anything. It's me going along for the ride. And then if he calls me to some specific thing, I don't strive and try to figure it out. I simply, when he opens the door, I walk through it. That's all there is. That's obedience. It's not some striving or working it up. I simply trust him. By the way, if you think you're going to have obedience apart from faith, you've got nothing at all. That's not obedience. You know what that is? Works of the flesh. Wood, hay, and stubble, the kind of stuff that gets burned up. No, I obey when I trust. So that's called faith obedience. I obey when I trust. That's all that's to it. Well, there's got to be more. What shall we do that we will work the works of God? Jesus didn't give anything more. He was the fulfillment of the law. He was the end of the law. Now I simply trust him. Does that mean I'm passive? No. That means I have an active faith because I have an active God. And when God leads me into something, I go there. But I don't have to strive to make it happen. He makes it happen. Simple as that. He opens the doors. He orders the steps. He does everything. But where do I get that faith to be obedient from? I get it from my covering of light. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. In Ephesians 1:17, the Word of God says that God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You see, this is the thing. It's a spirit of wisdom and of revelation, and it comes in the knowledge of Him. How do I get wisdom? By knowing what to do and when to do it. No. I get it by knowledge of Him. I get it through the doctrines of God being resident in my heart. This is how I walk in, you know, this is how I walk in faith. This is how I have faith obedience. I know Him. I have doctrine resident in my heart, controlling my thinking, the foundation of my analysis. It's the premise of all that I think and do. It is my frame of reference, and it is the doctrines of God. See, a lot of believers leave their covering in a works program where they're trying to live up to laws outwardly rather than being transformed inwardly. And this is bad news. So they disregard the Word of God because they have morality. And their morality is in fact a source of darkness. It's their covering. See, they cover the fact that they don't have the mind of Christ with morality. And it becomes a source of darkness. I'm not against morality. But it has to have the right source. Actually, I'm all for morality, if it's from the right source. On an individual level. Now, morality will save a nation. The Ten Commandments were not given for individuals. They were given for a nation. This is why it doesn't work when individuals try to apply the Ten Commandments. They're not, the law wasn't given to them. It was given to the nation. This is one of the hardest things I think there is to kind of impart to somebody. No man can impart it. The Holy Spirit has to impart it. But to communicate it in such a way that it becomes absorbable. It's like a vitamin. You want the kind that are easily absorbed. People leave the Word of God for the sake of an outward performance program. rather than inward transformation. There's no hope in that. There's no covering in that. There's deception in that. See, the throne of iniquity, in Psalm 94:20, the throne of iniquity devises mischief by the law. And the law that is spoken thereof is the law that was given by Moses. It's not Torah. Not there. It's not Torah. It's not like the Word of God. It means ordinances. The throne of iniquity devises mischief by ordinances. This is a bad place to be. In Proverbs 4:9, wisdom gives to your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. What is wisdom? When categories of doctrine are skillfully applied in life, that's wisdom. And wisdom is an ornament of grace. It is a covering of grace, and it is a crown of glory. And the crowns that the Bible speaks of are not literal crowns like we think of crowns like you wear on your head. They are coverings. They are being clothed in glory, in Shekinah glory, in the reflected glory of God. The Word of God produces in me, towards me, and then out of me, the reflected glory of God. You see, this is why religion can't never cut it. Because religion is ordinances. It's not a living God living inside the soul, the heart, transforming the person's heart, transforming the person's identity and entire being into the image of Christ. It's just ordinances, and it has a throne, and the throne is a government, and it's a throne of mischief. It's Satan's throne. Remember that Satan is an angel of light, not an angel of darkness, but an angel of light. There is nothing more that Satan would prefer than an outward conformity without an inward transformation. Because then you think you have something, and in fact you're wretched and miserable and naked and poor. Because you have left the covering of light. In Proverbs 29:18, the Word of God says, where there is no precise illumination through the preaching of categories of doctrine from the Word of God, people will perish. That's what that word vision means. It's the precise instruction from the illumination of God's Word through the Holy Spirit that brings through categories of doctrine categorical life. And people perish without it. They leave their covering. Psalm 8 and verse 4, what is a man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. How is it that a believer is crowned with glory? It's the crowning of light. Glory there is that coat of light. It's the very same glory. It's the very same light that Adam was and Eve, that they were clothed with before the fall. It's the same light. And it's going to be given back to us. You see, everything that the enemy has taken away, God will restore. And the very same light that the enemy has taken away from us, that very same light will be returned to us. And it's a coat of glory. And we may be made lower than the angels, but we are crowned, we are cloaked, we are clothed, covered in glory. In John 1:4, In him was life, and the life was the light of men. My life is in the light of God. That's where I find it. Do you know why? Have you ever noticed this? That when the Word of God comes forward and is preached, then there's a lot of distractions prior and a lot of distractions after. Do you know why? Because the light is the life. That's why. This is why I say, it's like afterwards, when we finish, let's have a wrap. Why? So that the enemy cannot get in and steal the covering. So he cannot get in and steal the coat of light. So he cannot steal the life that is being imparted by the Holy Spirit. He will try. He always tries. In 2 Peter 1:2, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. The day star is Christ. The word of God causes Christ to rise in your hearts. It shines in a dark place. See, what happens is that people, this is the mystery of iniquity. People love darkness more than they love light. Right? In John chapter 3. People love darkness more than they love light. Why? Because darkness feeds the flesh. Notice that when Satan attacked, he had to hold something out in front of Eve. And he had to accuse God with it. He said, God's going to withhold something for you. You can be as God. He's going to withhold something from you. You know what? No one can be as God. Satan tried when he was Lucifer. That's how he became Satan. No one can be as God. But he deceived her into going after something. He developed in her a lust pattern. And she stopped believing because she started wanting. You know what the difference between believing God and then just simply wanting is? The focus of your faith. It's what does your heart delight in? My heart delights in God, and therefore I trust Him for His promises. Or does my heart delight in something in the world? What does your heart delight in? It may be the very same thing, but one is an idol and the other is faith. What does your heart delight in? You see, people want to be righteous on their own before God. They want to be able to produce something in themselves. They want to be righteous somehow in and of themselves. But it's not possible. It doesn't happen. And when you try is when you fail. I have no righteousness in myself. I only have God's righteousness. The good thing is God's righteousness is better than my own. And I can't earn it. He imparts it to me. First, He imputes it. It's kind of in a judicial sense. And then He imparts it, which is in the experiential sense. But people love darkness more than they love light. This is why so many churches preach the law. Because they love darkness more than they love light. You see, in the law, there was darkness. There was no reflected glory of God in the law. The Word of God is not the law. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. It is the life of God. It is the mind of the one who gave Himself for me. There is no darkness in that, nor is there any law in it. Men love darkness more than they love light. This is why they prefer their own ways over God's ways. Because they love darkness more than they love light. It's not a good place to be. It's iniquity. Remember, iniquity is the thing that was found in Lucifer's heart, and so he was cast out of heaven. It's iniquity. And he made a once and for all decision that would last for all eternity, and God knew it, that he would never change his mind. And he still has not to this day. Why do you think that there is such a push toward legalism and outward conformity without an ounce of inward transformation? You know what astonishes me? When I came to this area, I was completely astonished how many churches there were and how little word there was. But boy, was there ever religion here. And there's a lot of religious arrogance in this region. Why? Because they love darkness more than they love light. They want self-production, self-righteousness, self-exaltation through some sort of a works program. And then when the gospel of grace comes in, they don't like it. They preach another gospel. Well, you know what Paul said when somebody preached another gospel. So let them go to hell. This is not popular teaching. It's grace, and it is grace alone that the Word of God brings. The Word of God brings me to the throne of grace. It does not bring me to the throne of iniquity. It brings me to the throne of grace. This is why I need that covering. Because I need to come to God's throne and not Satan's. Do away with that. Through religious preaching of law, remember the letter kills. Man does not live by every logos, every written word. Man lives by every inspired, Holy Spirit given to the heart word. Satan attacked the living word with the logos. Do you see the difference? It's huge. Yet believers left and right are completely void of a comprehension of the covering of light. And so they are uncovered. And so they become religious casualties. Religion has killed them from God. Why? Because they try a production in themselves that has no possibility of being successful with God. And they do it all in the name of Christ. Well, many will say unto me in that day, in Matthew chapter 7, Lord, Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You see, in that legalism, they become the workers of iniquity. Because the throne of iniquity devises mischief by the law. The light covering leads me to grace. The light covering leads me to mercy. The light covering leads me to forgiveness, and it allows me to experience in a practical way, moment by moment, the kindness of God. the forgiveness and His mercy. It allows me to experience the compassion of God. It takes away those old lines of thinking that say law, and it replaces them with grace. It replaces them with mercy. It replaces them with "it is finished." Nothing else is required. It is finished. And it comes through a covering of light. This is a believer, I can't do without that covering. I need that covering of light. Do you understand this? You want transformation. It doesn't come through death, it comes through life. The light was the life of man. In Ezekiel, in closing, in the 43rd chapter, in the 2nd verse, the Word of God says, "And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory." And the east speaks of the resurrection. You see, the resurrection life that a believer can possess comes through the many waters. It comes through their covering of life. It comes through the Word of God, producing the life of God, the resurrection life. And the production of the resurrection life in the believer's heart is the cross. That is the practical implementation and manifestation of a cross in a believer's life. It's not that I work up a cross. It's that it's produced by the Word of God. As His life is produced in me, it replaces my self-life. And as I focus and I meditate and I think on God, and His words become the prevailing thoughts in my mind, the cross is present because His life is present. It's not some ascetic, weird, deny yourself, deny your emotions, deny your feelings, deny what there is. No, it's a production of something new. Something that was not there before. And it comes through a covering. And it's the covering of light. And it's the Word of God that walks in the garden of my heart and it feeds me every day. This is why it's important to receive the Word of God every day. Because it's my covering. And without it, I cannot be covered. And without it, I cannot rest because the bed is short. Without it, I don't have life because I have no covering. And that covering is my provision in the warfare. When the enemy comes, I don't try to fight him. I stand, and I stand covered. And I'm covered in the armor because the armor is given from the light. Every portion of the armor was given by light. This is where the covering comes from. This is why it's so imperative to continually receive the Word of God and receive the Word of God in a fresh portion every day and continually receive it. Because then that day, if I neglect to receive it, I don't have any portion of life. And what do I have? Well, what happens then is I've actually laid down the cross because God's life is not being produced in me. And now I'm back into self-life and I don't even have to try to go there. I would go there automatically. See, it's not something I have to even decide on. It's something that simply is produced. I make a decision to receive, and God does the rest through His Word. And I'm able to walk in faith. I'm able to live in mercy, because that's what's been produced in me by another one. Not by myself, but by somebody else. I simply rest and receive. And I live in a covering of light. And I don't try to live apart from it. I don't say naked, I'm naked, I'm going to go hide myself or cover myself. I simply believe God for His promises. What happened when they said, "Well, we made ourselves fig leaves"? I'm paraphrasing, of course. God remove their fig leaves. Because He's always going to remove the fig leaves. He's always going to remove the natural thinking and the natural provision. And He made them skins. He made them real covering. The skins were the skins of the animal after the blood sacrifice. That was the covering. The blood sacrifice became the covering that was produced by the light. Amen.